Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, Maysoon, we missed a couple weeks because we were both in a severe depression.
And just totally fucked up.
But we're back on track and we're going to be on track now for the rest of our lives. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay,
totally.
Fantastic.
I think, you know, what is it called? Where you're visioning. This is part of our vision board, isn't it?
Oh, manifesting.
Manifesting to be a...
Do you believe in that? I don't.
I think it's more just, I don't really believe in like manifesting. I think what it basically is saying, like, if you focus on what you want and you work towards it, then you might get it, is what I feel like that really means.
Well, yeah, I think that's it.
As opposed to just being accurate. Like, I wish I had this. And then like, you just walk away and like go in the corner and scratch your for the next 3 days. Like, you're not going to get anything.
Oh my God, don't say scratch your I'm bleeping that.
Why? Does that offend
because
you?
Because it's extremely offensive.
Why? Really?
I don't know why. I don't care about talking about semen or like livers exploding.
Oh my goodness.
Scratch your is too much.
You know, I was just with my husband's family and they have such, their humor is like major potty humor.
Oh, no.
Like, it's all of them. Like, the 70-year-old aunt, the 80-year-old mom, the 60-year-old brother, the 40-year-old brother, the kid, the 14-year-old. And I'm just like, my Midwestern, like, prudishness is like, oh, my God, I cannot handle this.
Is that Midwestern, though?
The prudish?
I feel like the Midwest is very potty humor.
Oh, really?
I feel like the prudishness, as my friend Anastasia said... No potty, yes body is my approach, but I think in the Midwest it's yes potty, no body.
Oh, you body and I are from people. Very different Midwests though too, I would say, so I'm not totally sure.
Well, you're from like the fucking third biggest city in the U.S.
I know, exactly, but and I'm sure there's plenty of potty talk in that
cow town.
I'm sure there's plenty of potty talk in Chicago. I think it's just like my family, like my mom and the way she was raised.
Okay.
And
I'm so offended by this entire conversation.
Wait, why?
Because I don't want to think about the word or the concept of a potty. I'm bleeping it.
Oh my God.
Every time I say it,
can you use
I'm
like a flush bleep?
Oh God, no, Maysoon. Fuck off.
Oh no, you know what, you're right. I just realized now that I'm playing onto your like fear, and I apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
Yes,
actually.
my bathroom anxiety,
I did not mean to do that, I swear to God. I'm just now realizing it. And when I said the word flush, I was like, oh no, that's Kate's worst thing.
You know, I haven't even begun to work on that with my therapist yet, so I'm glad you brought it up so I can remember to write it down,
put it on your list.
Put it on my endless list of mental issues.
Oh, man. That sounds like a good thing to work on. I need a therapist.
Mental issues, for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Get a therapist, Maysoon.
I believe in them. I do believe in them.
They're fucking impossible to find.
That is the problem. I was trying to go through my health insurance, and they gave me a therapy group that's based in San Diego. And I was like, I can't.
What the fuck?
because therapy sessions at the time were all online, or for primarily online. So they probably were like, yeah, it doesn't matter. This is the cheapest group. And who cares if the therapists are in San Diego, because you'll be meeting with them online. But I was kind of like, I feel like the Bay Area and San Diego are culturally very different, and I just didn't feel good about it. I was like, I kind of want someone up in this neighborhood, or up, you know, in the Bay Area, who has a sense of what's going on up here. And so then I had to go back ask for groups that were actually in the Bay Area. And then that was like 6 months later. And I lost momentum, but I'm still like very aware of the fact that I need to like have some conversations.
I recently read an article that insurance companies are providing their clients with lists of mental health providers who are not actually in network, not actually taking new patients, and that they do this cynically to keep people from accessing mental health care so that they don't have to pay for it.
Well, that's exactly what they've done with me. I mean, they made it somewhat difficult where I'm like, So then my option is to like, right, probably what you're doing, find a private person, which is like usually way more expensive.
And then I submit like a super bill, like a itemized whatever mega bill to my insurance for reimbursement.
Oh.
But it takes forever.
Wow. So you're paying up front a large chunk and then it takes forever for them.
And then get reimbursed.
Do they reimburse you for most of the items or is it sort of partial reimbursement? Yeah. Oh, that's great.
No, yeah, they reimburse for, it ends up being only like, I forget, like $15 or some shit.
Oh, like a really copay, cheap. Like a copay amount.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad you figured work that out. And do you like
your
therapist?
It's still a huge drag, though. Oh, I'm mad at them.
It's a huge
drag. Yeah, I love my therapist.
See, that's good. And this was like through like the your health insurance. It's like you can use these different groups and you found someone through that or...
No, dude, that's the thing. When I tried to look at their list of providers, some of the numbers didn't even go to anywhere.
Oh, no.
Like I just went down, because I was so desperate to find someone, I just was going down and calling every single person on the list.
Yeah.
And the only person who actually would schedule an appointment with me ended up being somebody that had this huge racist scandal that she posed as she posed as an immigration attorney and threatened to call ICE on people outside of her house because
they were
speaking Spanish.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
I'm putting a link to the article.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, wow.
And I was like, no wonder you have openings.
Yeah, because you're a fucking asshole.
Because you're
You should
a
have your
pariah.
License taken away from you, quite honestly.
Well, it was really disturbing because this woman was like on like the Oakland City Board of Mental Health.
Oh my God. What?
And stuff like that.
Politics. Yeah, dude. Politics right there. There
Man,
it is.
I can't remember. Wait, let me say her name because people need to watch out.
That's right. Call her out. Listeners, if you have any advice or stories about mental health providers, feel free to give us a ring, a ding ding.
Yeah.
I feel like this is all arts related. Everyone's got to take care of themselves first and then
others. This is like the most heart art thing that we could possibly talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, Leslie Franklin.
Okay, Leslie Franklin. Everyone beware. If you're looking for a therapist, best to avoid Leslie Franklin for now. Probably forever. I don't know if people change. People can change.
Anyhow, that was wild. So anyhow, then I found my current therapist on motherfucking Google Maps.
You're like, who's close to me? Was that kind of like your criteria? Yeah.
Yes. But it was kind of funny because I found them and then they ended up being in they had moved to Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
And so we do all our appointments on video chat, but it's totally fine.
But so they're actually in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but they're still licensed in California and Florida.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Well, yeah. See, that's, at least they had some time in the Bay Area, so they understand our Bay Area collective thought, potentially.
Oh, yeah. And they're, like, super queer, non-binary, all about it. Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to have a queer therapist.
I've never thought about that. Maybe
mainly for me. It's not like I feel like they're doing anything. It's just talking to a straight person about gay stuff is sometimes it's my own internalized weirdness that makes me feel tense about it.
Right. I can see why having a queer therapist would make you more comfortable, or it would definitely be more helpful. I wanted to, like, when my dad passed away, I wanted to find like a therapist who had like who understood like immigration affairs, you know, like someone who was either an immigrant or had like a real understanding of like the immigrant life in this country, kind of a thing.
You need a Palestinian therapist,
or I don't know if I need a Palestinian specifically, but just someone who can relate to people who aren't from here, who come here from another place that's like complicated. You know, like I just didn't want someone who was like, oh, I'm so sorry your dad died. Just, you know, I wanted someone who had like more depth around like the human experience, and especially the immigrant human experience, you know? So, but that's like so specific. It's really hard to find, you know, like people don't really put that in their bio necessarily, you know?
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yes, it's so hard. Okay.
We can move on from the therapy talk.
But I just really agree with that. I mean, I do think that we are all humankind. We are all brothers. But there is something to be said about having shared experience and being able to be really understood by someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Okay, Mason, here's the deal.
What's the deal? Tell me more.
Well, there's going to be an opening this Saturday. Is that not
you
this
You don't
Saturday.
Say. This
is
Saturday.
Today's Saturday?
No, today's Tomorrow. Friday. Tomorrow.
Yeah, we're recording now on the 25th. I'm literally Walter. Under attack right now. I am hanging on for dear life.
Oh, what a cute. I just love I to think of Wally up, attacking he, you. It's like so outrageously cute.
I keep picking him up to get him to chill Calm out. Down. And then he just snarfles into the mic.
Oh.
Do you hear him?
I can't. I'm sure you can hear him really well because you have your mic headphones on.
Sherwin Rio is having an opening on Saturday, December 3rd from 12 to 5 over there at 500 Cap Street.
Oh, okay.
The show is called As Above, So Below. Mm-hmm. It's interdisciplinary art. It's site-specific and research-based sculpture, installation, video, performance, and audio.
Nice.
Maysoon, yes. Check this Tell out. More. Oh, my God. Oh, are you hearing
Walter.
This?
Yes.
Wally,
He's totally
it's fine.
Whining.
We're in my studio, and this is... Oh, my God. We're in my studio, and this is his most hated place on the planet Earth.
Is it? Why?
Okay.
I feel like he's spent so
know.
Much time
I don't know. He just really
there.
Hates it here. I think he, like, smells my garbage can and thinks there's food in it.
Oh, poor
okay.
guy.
Okay. He was inspired by Ireland's... Oh, David Ireland. See, I thought they were talking about the country. This is
oh.
my constant problem.
Wait, he, let's read it. Let's read by, it as if he was inspired by Ireland. Can
okay,
I just hear it that way first?
By,
yeah.
Yeah, sure. He was inspired by Ireland's affinity for enclosure. See, I don't think that's right.
That doesn't work.
Particularly his deep interest in the house's basement, a space Ireland called the Grotto, where he sourced dirt for his work and spent many hours in solitude.
Hmm. I've never been into that okay. space. I've heard about it, but I hope maybe it'll be open for visitors. The basement.
Yeah, I don't know if I've been down there.
I mean, it sounds like it's probably a raw space, right? Where it's just, there's not a lot of, it's mostly dirt still.
Okay, well, Carlos Jaramillo has a show called Tierra del Sol, LA. Is this in LA?
Wait, that was it about the Sherwin Rio at David Ireland?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Oh, the New Guerrero Gallery in LA has a show by Carlos Jaramillo. I don't know, you might be an LA listener because you're like traveling around.
Because yeah, you're an art world
or something.
You know, person.
Yeah, the show sounds cool. This is his first solo show in LA and his first exhibition at their gallery. But what's their gallery called now? It's not still called Guerrero Gallery.
It's not?
It's called Guerrero Gallery LA. Oh, okay. It is called Guerrero Gallery. I got so confused when they opened. I was like, oh, shit, I'm missing the opening. I need to go to it because it had like Sarah Hotchkiss, I think, and like all these artists.
Oh, you mean the LA Gallery?
Yeah, uh-oh. And I was like, fuck, I gotta go. And then I heard from Jay Panza that it was in L.A. And I was like, oh, well, I'm off the hook.
You're definitely off the hook in that case.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
cool.
But go see the show in L.A. because it is exploring the athletic and cultural event El Clásico de las Américas, California's largest charreada. I'm so sorry. Anytime I'm trying to do anything, I'm fucking it up. A multifaceted rodeo event descended from Mexico following Spanish colonization. Jaramillo captures the event in all its energy, beauty, and resiliency. This sounds really cool. Hmm. Should we go to LA?
I mean, I would love to go to LA. I haven't been to LA in so long.
Okay, let's go. Let's fucking go.
How are we going to do that?
Just come get me.
Well, we need a car.
If anybody's selling their car, reach out. Give us a call, 419-351-6606. Also, if you want, you know, call us if you have comments or questions about the show or the art or the Bay Area art and culture scene.
Not, you no can calls also... just about therapy and cars. We're like car sure. talk all of a sudden.
Oh, I love it.
Click and clack.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk
Thank
on
you.
National Public
Pleasure
Radio.
Pleasure for me to be here.
With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the construction division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Hell yes.
They're the best.
Okay, but Maysoon, another thing is you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. For as long as Twitter still exists, the Twitter drama has been off the hook. And then you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. And if you want to give us a donation, like our beautiful, effervescent, sustaining donors, Jim Prosser and Anonymous, you can go to congratulationspinetree.com and hit that donate button.
Yes, you can.
Maysoon, did you know that Rick Pralinger is doing the Lost Landscapes 2022?
I love when he does those. Where is he doing it this time?
Okay. It is going to be Tuesday and Wednesday, December 13th and 14th at 7 p.m., doors at 6:30 at the Herbst Theater.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's too big.
Isn't that
I'm just that's amazed right there that he has that house. That's right there in my place of employment.
Well, let's go.
I can't commit to that right now.
Why?
Because I don't want to stay in my work building.
Oh, come on.
I know. Isn't that shitty?
Yeah, I know. No, I'm with you. Once I'm done,
I gotta think about it for a second.
I want to fucking run.
You kind of just want to run away. Out. Yeah.
Jack Fisher's got to show up.
All right. You always say it just like that.
Minnesota Street Project has a... No, I don't like Jack Fisher.
Aw, Kate, that's just so harsh.
Why you got to cry about it? He screamed at my friend and I'm never getting
over
it.
Why do we even need to say he's got to show up then? Just don't say it.
I like to say it.
Okay, great. Fine. You like to say his name, but you don't like to... Kate, put this on your list.
What's my list?
Your list
of things to talk about to my therapist.
Oh, man. Okay, who else Fair now? Enough. What else? Who else holds the show? You said Minnesota Street.
They got a bunch of stuff. Anglem Trimble's got a show called Bull Moletic Zoom Blue Dot Stills.
I don't understand. What did you just say? What language are we speaking here?
Curated by Carol Covington.
Okay.
It's a this blue Bull Moletic is a collaborative duo, Sign Tollerud Bull and Dragon Moletic. This is going to be some freaky, like, futuristic
shit. I mean, I don't even understand what's happening, but I think maybe we should go check it out and learn for ourselves.
They always got the weirdo stuff. The Jones Institute. What the fuck is the Jones Institute?
Know. No idea. No idea. Sorry.
Apparently, there's a place there called the Jones Institute, and Carrie Maxson is presenting three series, Moonshadow, Cogitation, and Plumline. The artist's current work includes ink drawings on handmade paper that ponder nature, energy, and the weight of symbols. Okay, I don't fucking... They're like mixed... things have changed over there. Gosh. Wally, what do you think is happening? Just get in your bed and go to sleep.
Oh, poor guy. He doesn't want to be in there. It's dark and cold.
It is cold as hell, but I got
my heater on. He's a little old guy.
He's got his little bed. I have a really good bed here.
I know.
There he goes. Okay.
Wally.
Okay. Themes and Projects at Minnesota Street has a show by Seiko Tachibana called Cosmos Forest. I wonder, is everybody showing their works on paper because it's like Christmas time?
Oh, no. Really? It's like by gift kind what of a thing? I guess we are kind of in like the holiday fair moment.
Is that kind of cynical of me to think that?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think that, but...
Thank you. Oh, you mean you didn't think it was cynical or you didn't think it was Christmas cash grab?
I didn't think the Christmas cash grab thing, but why don't we go and ask?
Well, let's I'm just a very go and cynical, find out. Crusty old sea hag.
Sea hag, just like in Popeye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. White Window, Aft in Love is the show up at Municipal Bonds. I've never heard of these places.
No,
Maysoon.
Municipal Bonds has been there for a little while.
Oh, okay. Were they, what's up with it?
I think they're on the second floor, and I want to say they're like at the opposite end of Rena Branston.
Okay.
I think they're a pretty small spot. I think that's what the space they're in. I could be wrong.
Salt to Catch Ghosts is still up. You really should go see that if you haven't already. That's going to be up until December 17th.
Where is that? Salt to Catch Ghosts. I like that.
Slash.
Oh.
Slash.
I was just on their website and couldn't find the thing. Okay.
Yeah, get in there. Bitforms SF has some weirdo artificial something.
Oh, there's a Chris Johansson show over at Altman Siegel.
And then Color Code, the show at McAvoy, is up until January 21st. So you got plenty of time. Root Division has their Misfit Maker Christmas art thing.
That
on
one is
December
super
10th.
Fun. I highly recommend that to everyone.
It is a fun holiday pop-up where you can go get some art made by local artists. And they're making the art live. It's a lot of fun.
It is really fun. Have you ever done that one?
No, they never invite me.
I feel like you would be great for that. Well, I don't know.
Guys,
I could
make some great little bullshit.
Maybe don't solicit it that way.
I could make some Lee Bonatique Muppets.
Oh my God, that'd be so cute if you made like little... Can you make little mini finger puppets?
Yes, I can make anything.
Oh my God. See, Root Division, doesn't that sound so great? I'm into it.
It's pretty sad when you're trying to just like peddle your free labor and then it's not getting taken up.
I think you get paid for it though. I mean, if someone buys something, right?
Oh, really?
So, I think so. There must be a percentage.
Maybe you get a cut or something.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, right. Don't peddle your free labor. It's fine.
Well, I'm just desperate to just give my free labor away and no one's taking it.
Everybody who's listening, take note.
Over there at BAM PFA, they have a new Matrix show that's going up on January 25th. So you got plenty of time to plan your travel.
Mirror Material is their juried show. So it's a juried show. It's already closed. Well, don't go there.
Oh, it's down.
Damn, that was fast.
Are
that
they closed for the
month.
Holiday?
Fucking hell. I wanted to actually see that show.
Don't be mad at them.
I'm not mad. I'm just sad I missed it. That's
love
all.
Them.
Just mad at myself, Kate.
Oh, good. Okay, so the new Matrix show over there at BAM PFA is called Theater of Human Melting.
Wow.
Huh?
Pretty good.
It's by Frank Moore, and it looks like it's some paintings, and I'm kind of excited.
You're kind of excited.
It's the first museum exhibition of work by Frank Moore, the late Berkeley artist who was an important figure in the Bay Area's counterculture movement in the 1970s. It will feature more than 30 of Moore's paintings, and they look real freaky, and I'm excited. Wait, I know Frank Moore.
Okay.
Born with a disability that affected his speech and movement, Moore produced a vast body of work focused on the relationships between bodies and objects, subjects and observers. A graduate of SFAI, Moore was deeply influenced by the countercultural currents of the Bay Area in the 1970s, becoming widely known for provocative performance art. This is why I know him, because I was kind of looking into him when I was researching about like Annie Sprinkle and all these like sex kind of related performance artists and like queer performance art, although I don't think Frank Moore was gay, but his work was like really erotic and like interesting about like bodies and disability.
That's
becoming widely known for provocative performance art presentations that incorporated nudity and eroticism as well as shamanic practices.
Let's go see that show. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. And I love a painting. You don't get to see much paintings these days.
Yeah, people kind of hate paintings these days.
Unless you're going to an art fair.
Oh, right. Over at All Mission Street, they have an artist named Raydell Early on view. And I believe this is a creative growth artist. That is
okay, Mason. We saw about 400,000. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Up through January 7th. That's true.
Okay, Mason, we saw about 600,000 things. So let's talk about those now.
Okay. 600,000 things.
Well, we haven't, since the last episode, we saw Brontez Purnell at the lab.
Right, that's right.
We saw his performance. That was wild because we kept being like, we walked out. It was in the in Theater Rhinoceros or whatever, in the little black box theater in the back behind the lab's main space.
Right.
And we walked in and there was a bed set up.
Yep. And Kate was like, is there going to be sex on that? And I was like, I don't know, let's not.
Yeah, I was like, is he going to be fucking someone?
And then I also
and
remember
Mason
Kate
was like, oh, I hope
specifically
not.
Being like, let's not sit in the front row just in case. Just in case, you never know.
I was like, I don't know what's going to happen.
You're going to get
sprayed with
some shit.
So we sat about three rows back.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Who knows? Because I saw Brontez in a performance, and I'm pretty sure it was him. It was in a Keith Hennessy performance at YBCA back in like 2013 or something, where he pissed on the ground and then like swam in the piss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in the front row for that or near that, I guess.
But anyhow, and so I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And so we sat about three rows back. Sure enough, he comes out pretty early on in the performance.
We knew he was going to be naked. That was like a given.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. But he comes out stark naked and he goes exactly behind us. So his dick was like practically up against the back of my suit.
It was like entangled in my hairdo. I just hope it felt good. And I was like,
it was an interesting performance.
Yeah. Yeah. You were saying it was about, we'll give the listeners a little bit of a recap on what he was
apparently
attempting
to do. It was based on some piece of writing by Sylvia Plath about.
Oh, yeah. So, loosely based on Sylvia Plath's short story, Johnny Panic and the Bible of Dreams.
Yeah.
In which the protagonist, a receptionist at a mental health clinic, acts as a sort of medium for the living as he secretly records the dreams, fears, and anxieties of those he encounters.
Oh, there you go. And then in the thing he has this whole monologue about his dad being the god of anxiety. And I was really into that.
That was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I just felt like it was kind of that it didn't go as deep on that as I thought it was going to. And there were some very beautiful moments, but for me, it just didn't feel like it ever really dug in and got started a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, there was like, it was kind of in chunks where there were video elements and Brontez did a little bit of movement stuff and he played a song. And then there was this like live stream, like closer
memory
video
game
of him doing this. Yeah, doing this like memory game with cards. I mean, I think it was all evocative of this like mental, you know, like having a mental break. Or I mean, I'm really definitely into that as a topic.
I mean, the bed. The bed definitely had like an institutional kind of feel, you know.
Yeah.
That set.
And I thought his like, but there was also a lot of repetition, which I understand that is like, you know, if you're having a mental health crisis. Or if you have, like, anxiety or depression or OCD or whatever, like, repetition and saying things or thinking things over and over again, that definitely feels relevant to the topic. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to... Sometimes it's kind of, as an audience member, it feels like you're stuck a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. with the repetitive stuff. And, like, the videos would loop, and there was this piece of writing that you hear audio of, and then he did a live reading of it, and it's, like, these phrases and things are coming back again and again, and it was just a little tough for me, I have to say.
Yeah. I went in, I didn't read at all about what the piece was about, so I didn't have the Sylvia Plath even in my mind, and haven't read that story anyhow, so I don't know if I would have been able to... take anything away with specific to that, to the top, I mean, I guess to this, the subject matter he was approaching. But I enjoyed a lot of the elements, I think, just sort of visually or whatever it was doing in my mind, just sitting there observing. There was that also, the early on, there was that one moment, I kind of wish he had played with this a little bit more, the one piece of audience interaction where we all had to turn our flashlights on. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. We turned our phone lights on. The theater was totally dark and we turned our phone lights on and that was the light, like spotlighting him.
Yeah. And so
that was interesting.
And so everyone would like, wherever he was, you would just sort of try to follow him with your phone. And it was just an interesting element. And I don't, maybe it wouldn't have been effective if he had done it another time. But I just think as far as highlighting specific moments, it could have been useful, you know, or sort of really elevating specific moments. I think that could have been a useful tool to use again is all. Yeah.
Yeah. It did feel kind of like a sketch or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good on ya. And we also saw a sweet. Or a flight of three performances at Counterpulse.
Yes.
including, what was that first one called?
Dark. So there was a piece called Dark, and that was by Jess Curtis and Gravity.
Okay, so it was like about darkness, and some of the performers were like blind or visually impaired. So when you go into the theater, it's completely pitch dark.
And by pitch dark, it's literally you cannot see your hand in front of your face. There were no lights. All like
nothing.
The exit
your
signs.
Your eyes aren't adjusting to shit.
Any of like the glow-in-the-dark floor markers that you might see in a dance space, everything was covered. Literally everything was covered.
Yes. Yes. And so when you go into the theater, you have your little group and you like have your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you. And one of the performers is leading you into the space and kind of telling you, like laying it out and telling you where to go. And the person leading us was one of the blind performers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so she was like really knew how to fucking navigate space.
Amazing. You know? Not only navigate space for themselves, but for a group of people behind them. Who are not used to not being able to see, you know, like it's really interesting.
And so that was, I mean, that part, that for me, that was the best part of it, was just getting into the theater.
I will let listeners know that I like panicked. I had a little bit like of a moment where like I couldn't go in with the people I was there with, which is, you know, Kate and a couple
other friends. Yes, the people working for the theater were making it sound like we were about to get dropped into a fucking shark tank.
Yeah, they like, I first of all, I was the one who invited everyone to come and join me on this performance because I had talked to the choreographer, Jess Curtis, earlier or the week before at another lab event. And he was like, oh, you should come. And he was explaining it. And I was like, oh, that sounds really great. Like a performance in the dark. It's something you don't get to do very often. And so I was super sold on it from the beginning. But then when we got there, when they were sort of giving their remarks to the audience, they stressed so much how dark it was going to be. It's very dark. You won't be able to see. Be careful. We're going to go in small groups. Like there was so much emphasis that it like, my brain like went haywire. I was like, I just couldn't deal.
It was a perfect storm for anxiety. Yeah,
it was so weird. So I had to like.
They gave us glow sticks.
They gave us glow sticks and
to crack in case we freaked out and needed them to take us out.
Needed them to take you out. It was really. It was a lot. Like it was just. It was maybe more than.
They set it up to be scary.
They set it up to be like really panicky. And so it's like, I like literally we walked inside the door and I was like, I can't do it. And I walked back out to the lobby.
But you did end up coming in at the end.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like you saw the whole performance.
I saw the whole performance.
Or, well, didn't see anything.
I didn't see shit. I did see. I left, sat in the corner for a second. Like there was a bench in the corner. I wasn't on the floor like in a fetal position. It wasn't that dramatic.
Ooh, Lord, you would have gotten tripped over.
I just like chilled for a second. And then I was like, I don't want to miss this fucking performance. This is the whole reason why I'm here, you know? So then I was like, Jess came up to me and was like, hey, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, I just got a little bit panicky, but I do want to see the performance. Is there a way? He was like, well, I think there's a seat like right on the edge where you can like get out if you need to. I was like, okay, great.
Yeah.
So he brought me in. I was like, we're all holding hands. We're like three of us holding hands going in. And I sat down on a row with other people who were in the performance and it was great. It was a really beautiful piece. What we learned about it was also that it's kind of a work in progress, so it might change a little bit, but that the premiere will be in Berlin. The choreographer spends half of his time in Berlin, half of his time here. And so it'll premiere in Berlin at some point and then come back to Counterpulse. So I definitely will go again. I'm going to bring everyone I can. Hopefully there will be multiple nights when people can go see it. But I just thought it was really beautifully done. I mean, I loved just the beginning. Of course, you're expecting when you're sitting in a room that's dark and you're at a performance, you're like, okay, this is gonna play with our other senses. And
yeah,
there was definitely the sound element. Remember that, Pete? The beginning was like the walking sticks that vision impaired people use.
Yeah, canes.
Yeah. Like just the tapping,
sweeping and tapping.
And you know they were dynamic with it, right? Where maybe it was slow, but it would speed up, and it would get like what you expect in dance is like different levels, you know, different energy levels also. And so you could hear that happening just with the sound, which was really great. But it also just for me made me imagine like, are they running through the space? Are they just standing there tapping their stick? Because I mean, you could hear all this movement, which. was so, like, for me, so surprising in a space that dark, right? But that's just because we're, as sighted people, aren't used to that, right? So it was really great. I thought it was a really beautiful piece.
I was so preoccupied with trying to figure out what was the layout of the space we were in.
Oh, uh-huh. You couldn't tell when you went in, like you didn't go around like four sides or three sides before
all.
You sat down?
Because I was imagining that we were walking into like a theater with like, you know, stadium seating or whatever, like, yeah. Or like rows of chairs facing a stage.
Right. But when you walked in, you couldn't like feel the shape just based on the path that you were taking?
No.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
I was so disoriented.
Yeah.
And then I was saying to Ken Lowe, who was with us, I was like, are we sitting on the stage?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who let us in, the performer, I think her name was Tiffany, was like, told me the entire layout of the room, but I am fucking, I don't have a good mind for that.
Yeah.
I was like, I heard everything, but I couldn't picture it. And so that's the main thing I was thinking about.
Yeah.
The whole time was like, where are we and where is everyone in really, like, okay, so that I was thinking about that big time. Mm-hmm. And then all the stuff that happened while it was absolutely totally dark was pretty good. I thought there was some stuff that was said out loud, like kind of,
there were
monologue-y.
There was also a point when they were counting, like they would say like three steps forward, you know, like, and you could hear them counting and moving.
Yeah, and there was like some percussion-y kind of vibes with the footsteps and things like that. And that was all interesting. But then as it goes on, the lights come up. That things do happen visually with light.
Yeah.
Like at one point they were in like a tableau and one of the performers was kind of touching the bodies of the dancers who were kind of in a like a frozen tableau and describing out loud what he was touching.
Well, he was highlighting them with a flashlight. So he was sort of outlining
the
body.
Right, and so we could see.
And then saying it in German, or like he was outlining the body and then saying what he was outlining in German. And then that was being translated by someone else. So he would
say English. Yeah.
Yeah. Into English. Thank you. Yeah. And so he would say like, you know, a head and shoulder or arm outstretched, arm.
Two hands touching another hand or holding. Yeah. So that was interesting. And then there was also a point where their lights came up behind the audience. So then I saw the fucking audience and we were in like a horseshoe around a square performance
there
space.
There were basically
that was
four,
on the same
four
level
rows
as us.
On each. Yeah, we were on the stage is what you would call that. Chairs on the stage.
Basically, we were on the fucking stage.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yes.
I fucking knew it.
Yeah, good.
And point is,
the lights, I mean, the lights were still very dim, I should say. Like, the lights never fully came on. The first moment
but
of light.
I think the lights should never come on. There should have been nothing.
I feel like for me, the one thing that I was sort of like, ho-hum about was the first interaction with light was the dancers on their cell phones.
Oh,
and
right.
They were reading.
At
were
one
reading
point, they're
things.
All just walking around.
And it was just like, was just such a bummer because I was like, I don't want to, I don't know. Like, yes, we all love our cell phones. We need them. We use them constantly. But there was something about like, maybe it was,
maybe
it was critiquing cell phone use. I just was sort of like, I wasn't able to think about what the meaning.
I don't think it meant, no, I think that they didn't mean for it to have this big conceptual thing about phones.
Okay.
I felt
how
it was
could you
just
not
for the
think
light
that,
and for
you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, of course.
Because it's your fucking cell phone. There's so many. It's just. It's such a. It's so symbolic in so many shitty ways. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right.
So that I wish they were able to introduce light in a different way, not with cell
phones.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to know what that the kind of intention with that.
Yeah, it didn't ruin the piece, but it was sort of like. Boo. And you know, and it wasn't terrible, but I just was it's just not my jam. I'm sure there's other people who really loved
that
it was
that
a cell
was
phone
a little,
and then they had
yeah,
like
some of the words
yeah
were a little on the nose
yeah
Like, so they're looking at their cell phone, the phones are playing audio of people speaking, and then the performers are also speaking. And
yeah, the performers are also reading something.
Snippets were like,
I kind of can't remember the snippets. I'm so bad at remembering text, but some of the text I thought was really good.
Yeah,
there was one text that they kept saying, this is in the dark, about something having to be dismantled in order to like move forward.
Oh yeah, that was a part I liked.
I
loved
that.
It was about like dismantling empire.
Yes.
Ah, oh, fuck.
It was a good part.
Really beautiful. We should remember
that.
It
was, I feel like that was such an important line, and I loved that it got repeated.
Yeah, that part was,
you know,
good.
It made me think of like so much about like our fucked up world and how so many people are trying to dismantle, and it's so fucking hard, and there's so many things in the way of making this a better place for so many people. And I mean, that just felt like really relevant and important to me, that line. And I'm sorry that I can't remember it, but.
Well, we couldn't write it down because
it was absolutely
dark.
Pitch black, and we couldn't bring out our phones because we didn't want to add any light to the situation. It was just
thing. You were not allowed to have any device that emitted light. Yeah.
But there was also a moment where it went to black again, I think mostly black. And there was, Kate and I, we were talking about this, that, you know, they stressed so much how dark it was, but then they didn't get consent, right, for any kind of touch.
Yes.
Which was interesting. So there was this moment where like I could feel like hear someone sit next to me, and then slowly they leaned onto my shoulder and side, and
yes.
then they kind of
and
slinked
somebody was
down.
Crawling around my legs and rubbing their head on my
it
legs
kind of
and
felt
going
like a cat
the
like if you had a large cat walking by you who just was like rubbing its head and body against your shins.
It wasn't like they didn't like slip a
oh my god, Kate.
I'm bleeping that.
But,
I'm bleeping.
Yeah, please bleep that. So that was, I actually, personally, I loved that because I have a dance background, some of you may know, and contact improv can be really fun if you're doing it with someone who's really good at it also. And it just, that, it weirdly, one made me think about how they didn't get consent, but I wasn't freaking out. I was just like, oh, and then it made me want to like actually dance and like get into the room with them. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, Mason, stay in your chair.
Oh, that would have been wild if you did that.
Just because it's such an invitation when someone touches you to respond in some way, right? To me, in general, like,
wow, that was not my feeling.
Oh, well,
all.
For me, in a place like that, which is a fairly safe space, right? You know what I mean? I loved that. I loved it, but it just reminded me of dancing with others, basically, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that they spent so much time talking about the dark and then no time talking about consent or that there might be some touch, but that it would be minimal or.
Yes. Why would you not say that?
Yeah. Especially in the dark. I mean, that could really, really trigger something for someone. You know what I mean?
Yes, dude.
Yeah. It was interesting. Highly recommended. Highly, highly recommended for.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Really? You don't?
Seems like there's some major issues there.
Oh, there. I don't know about major, but it depends, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
just know going in that you might get touched. You might have a little freak out that they're telling you you're about to die going into the darkest theater ever in existence.
I think they were mostly concerned that people would trip or something. But then they had the glow lights, which is you might also have an anxiety attack while you're in here in the
dark. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
I highly recommend the experience. Can that be?
Yeah, just
really
know
do.
What you're getting into
just
and
know,
you'll be fine.
It's going to be fine. There will be light. So you're in the dark for like a period of time and then they bring up the lights a little bit and then they go back to the dark. So it's not like, you know, I really look for art viewing experiences that are outside of the norm. It's really hard to find. And so when they show up, you're like, I'm like desperate for it, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
I hear you.
I love that.
Okay, Mason, can I put a timer on for 1 minute and I can talk about this movie I watched?
Sure.
Okay, people, here's the deal. I fucking watched this movie with fucking Florence Pugh. It's on Netflix. It's called The Wonder.
Yeah.
And it's about an English nurse who goes to Ireland because in a tiny, tiny village in Ireland, this young woman, and it's all set right after the famine.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, the fucking famine was not a famine. The British could have fucking sorted everything out, but the British were fucking taking Ireland's food. So not only was there a blight on the potatoes, but also the fucking imperialist Brits had to fucking fuck everyone to death. And that was the biggest exodus from Ireland. The population still to this day hasn't recovered.
Yeah.
Okay, keep this in mind. So British nurse goes to go debunk that this young girl had survived for 4 months without food. And the people were super Catholic and religious and they were saying it was like a miracle. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Florence Pugh goes out there. I'm not going to spoil the whole movie, but it's basically about this British nurse going and doing a fucking, British savior thing for these backwards Irish yokels. And I felt the entire thing was anti-Irish propaganda. I can't believe it got made. I stand against it wholeheartedly. Oh, wow. And I think it's a goddamn atrocity that this movie got made. Ooh. How dare you, Netflix? And how dare you, Florence Pugh and everybody involved?
Oh, I usually like Florence Pugh. That's a bummer.
I know.
What is it called? It's not Don't Worry, Darling.
It's called The Wonder. Oh, and that's my timer. It's called The Wonder. I'm very interested. You should still watch it, Maysoon. I'm interested in what you have to say.
I'm going to watch it.
As a fellow Irish, partially Irish person.
That's correct.
So please get in there deep. And it's supposed to be about the power of storytelling. But the only story I got was that the Brits are garbage.
But that's not the story they were trying to tell. They weren't trying to say this happened and because the Brits are fucking garbage. They were basically saying,
like, look at these nasty ass Irish freaks. And thank God Florence Pugh is flying in to save everybody.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Yep.
I'll watch it.
And I say, shucky our law.
Ooh, what does that mean? Fuck off.
That
shut
means
your mouth.
Our day will come.
Oh, okay. That's when you were learning Gaelic?
We should learn Irish after you're done learning Arabic.
I will never
be
done learning Arabic. I should have learned, no one in my family spoke Gaelic. I was just going to say I should have learned Gaelic, but I'm like,
not many people.
Folks in Ireland also speak
contemporary
English.
Irish. Yeah, contemporary Irish people have to learn it in school, but I don't think there's too many like people speaking it.
Wait, do they learn it in school still? That's awesome.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah.
Very interesting.
They're keeping their culture alive.
I love it.
No thanks to the 800 years of British oppression that apparently Florence Pugh loves and dreams about every night.
She's very young. I mean, not that that's an excuse for her to take on roles that are
shitty,
but
shout out to our one British listener, my friend Bobble Rob, if he's listening to this.
Yeah. Bobble Rob, let us know what you think. Has he watched the movie
he
yet?
He knows I love to get on my high horse. Well, I love to take the elevator
you
up
know
to
the
my
story,
high horse.
You know the story about why I didn't do study abroad in England or in London, right? Have you heard that story before?
No.
When I was in college, I had gotten into Goldsmiths study semester abroad. Goldsmiths is a school in London. Uh-huh. In London.
Yes, it's a very prestigious
school. For art history, and I was super psyched. I was going to go my junior year. And then my mom and I had a very long, deep conversation about how we were both feeling like we didn't want to give money to the British government.
Holy shit, you crazy bitches.
So I literally didn't go because I also was like having anxiety about it. And my mom was too. And we were like, it's so thinking about it in hindsight. I'm like, what the fucking fuck? <It's> like, but that's where my head was as like a, 20 year old, 18, 19 year old. How old are you when you're in college? I don't even remember.
You were a real hippie.
I was a real, I don't know what I was. We were like, no, we can't support the fucking British government
can't
and their oppression
that.
Of the continued
Fuck
oppression
yeah.
of the Irish as Irish people.
Yes, pop off.
And so I didn't go. I never studied abroad, people.
I wish we could do it now.
Study abroad? Can we study abroad as adults? Please. Goldsmiths, will you take me now?
Yeah, somebody give us a stipend. Don't go to fucking Goldsmiths, dude. Let's go to Trinity College in Dublin.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cute. Oh, Trinity College is great.
Hell yes. Fuck yes.
Anyhow, I always think that's really funny when I think about that. And just like so classic me as a young person. Just extreme. Extreme everything.
I love it. Okay, well, Maysoon, we're going to be flying the tricolor from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the Irish in between. This has been...
Congratulations! Pine tree.
That was great.